Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
ウィル・スミスのホームランでドジャース勝ち越し。山本に援護点。11回表5対4ドジャース勝ち越しました。この試合初めてリードを奪いましたドジャース。
Thank you to NHK Japanese TV. That's how the World Series sounded. Manny, you gonna translate that one?
I think he said the ball went really far for a home run, and I think Yamamoto was thrown in there too.
I think we picked up that. Yeah, Yamamoto, your World Series MVP, Pearl, and it was a masterpiece really throughout the series from Yamamoto. A complete game in game two, then game six. He was great for six innings, then comes in for the final 2 2/3 innings. And he got more outs than Shohei Ohtani did in game seven. Just unbelievable how the Dodgers rallied a home run in the ninth inning to tie the game from Miguel Rojas, of all people, hadn't homered since mid-September. And then Will Smith, one of your postseason heroes, which you can add to a laundry list here for the Dodgers, where he hits a home run in extras off of Shane Bieber, one of the very good to great pitchers in Major League Baseball, and served up a home run. Just unreal. And it's just so heartbreaking for the Toronto Blue Jays that as much as people want to celebrate the Dodgers, it almost feels like it's more about Toronto sadness than LA success.
Oh, yeah. I feel terrible for Toronto. EJ had a good point on our call last night. Did Fox jinx the Blue Jays? Because they were acting like the game was over in the seventh inning when I think it was still 4-2, and started talking about sort of overarching themes about the Blue Jays' success.
What were they doing on Japanese TV?
Yeah, there were certain moments where it felt like when Clements slid into home base and spread his arms out.
He kind of did. He posed, really.
Yeah, he posed.
Yeah.
It felt like, but then they were stranding runners. I mean, the story of the game from the Toronto's, there's two things: base running mistakes, but stranding runners again and again and again, and getting guys to second and third with zero outs or one outs and not being able to get the clutch hit. I just feel awful for my friends up north. And I hate the fact that the last time the Blue Jays won the World Series, it was on the Joe Carter home run. Can we move on? Can't they beat somebody else besides my Philadelphia Phillies? But that's like sports, Maggie. I mean, that's not a very deep statement. There's nothing more heartbreaking than sports, because especially baseball, because it's a slow death, and you could almost feel the Dodgers coming back there. Because they are, I will give you, I haven't said nice things about the Dodgers today, but I think they're amazing. But they did not for one second give up on that game. Like, you didn't sense that they felt like the series was over. Their bats were competitive to the very end, and that's why they won.
Yeah, and they couldn't hit the ocean for most of the series, but when they needed to, came up with some incredibly clutch hits. And
yeah.
I want to kill the Dodgers today. I really do. You know, I hate what they did with Shohei Ohtani deferring all that money. It bothered me from the moment it happened. Yes, we were sitting here next to each other.
But like,
because
what?
It feels like cheating, and it allowed them to sign Yamamoto, who ends up becoming the World Series MVP. And it was like the rich getting richer and richer. And you actually saw it in this game seven, right? Where you saw four of the Dodgers starting pitchers all pitched in this game. Shohei Ohtani started the game. Glasnow was in this game. Blake Snell was in this game. And then Yamamoto finished the game. And it was like, it just was a constant reminder of all of their money and all the ways that they separated themselves were just like in your face in this game seven. And I want to hate it. I do. But then I think about some of the heroes who actually won this game for them. And it is Miguel Rojas, who's a backup, like, utility infielder at this point, right? Middle infielder. I look at Andy Páez, who makes this incredible catch that we're going to be watching now till the end of time. Knocks out his own teammate, basically, to do it. And that is an all-time moment. And Andy Páez is not a high-paid player. And Will Smith, for as good of a catcher as he is, I mean, even he had his amazing moment. And it was not Freeman, and it was not Betts, and it was not Ohtani. So to me, it's like I want to kill the Dodgers, but I have to respect them. I have to admire them, and I have to admire Yamamoto most of all, because to come back after pitching six innings in Game 6 and then to basically win the game for your team in a Game 7 on the road is unreal. Unreal.
So did you kill the Mets for signing Juan Soto for $765 million?
No, that's what I'm saying. I'm not killing them. The one thing that bothers me about the Dodger fans is like, you guys, just take the win. Like, you can't take the win and also feel like you're going to get everybody's respect at all times. When you buy teams like this and when you have this all-time payroll, you're going to have detractors. The Mets are an all-time, if you bring up the Mets today, I don't know why you would.
Well, I'm just saying, like, there are a lot of high-income teams. Like, I don't know. Is it the deferred part of, like, so you're just killing the Dodgers because they're the richest team, but there are a lot of, like, really high-spending teams. So you're saying, like, do you have the same problem with the Mets and the Yankees as you do with the Dodgers?
They didn't defer that money.
So it's the deferring that really bothers
you. Yes, I've been as clear as a bell about this, because if he doesn't, so Shohei's basically making like $10 million a year.
Yeah, give him credit. Like, that's smart move. It's like Tom Brady.
No, it's not, because football is a salary cap sport. This isn't a salary cap sport. And so you could have had Shohei just get paid what he was getting paid, the $700 million, and he didn't have to defer any of that money, or at least not this much, and they probably would not have had enough money left to sign Yamamoto.
Well, if it's not a cap sport, then why would they have not had enough money? Because there is, like, some penalty, right? You go into tax.
Fine. Who cares,
Well, I'm just saying, like, so why does it defer? I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm totally wrapping my head around, like, what, it just feels tricky to you, or, like, what, like, credit the guy. Like, he's like, I'll defer the money, I'll take it later, Bobby Bonilla sire or whatever, so you can bring in more players.
Yeah, Bobby Bonilla is $1.2 million, but it's not exactly the same. But here's the thing. Yeah. It's not that I'm saying that Ohtani didn't do the right thing. Yeah, obviously, you're an all-time teammate for doing that. Fine. I'm just saying that this is what leads to people feeling like you bought the team, because you have one guy who's deciding to take less when he doesn't have to. Tom Brady, I think, felt like he wanted to and had to, because they actually have a salary cap. Right. And he wanted to take less also because his wife was making, you know, $50 million a year, whatever, as a supermodel. This, to me, it just, if you're a Dodger fan, you can't get in your feelings when people say you bought a team. Just say, of course we did, and keep it moving.
Right, but to me, I would say they're one of several teams that have bought a team. Like, They're not singular unless, and I kind of hear, like you're saying, the deferred money makes them singular.
Because no one else is doing $700 million of
deferred
money.
But everybody else is, like, there are other owners who are trying to buy a World Series. As you sort of laid out, like, give the Dodgers credit, like, they actually executed it. And it wasn't just the high price guys.
Yeah.
Like, for example, I mean, the Mets and the Yankees, and my Phillies are not that far behind. And actually, the Blue Jays tried to buy a World Series. If they could have paid up for Shohei, they would have in 2 seconds. So I just don't think, I would not kill the Dodgers for quote unquote buying a World Series, because I think in this day and age, like, anybody can buy a World Series. Like, the Mets have the richest owner in baseball, right?
Yes, that's why they should buy a World Series too.
But it's so much harder. Yeah, that's why I'm saying, like, I was never going to kill the Dodgers for buying a World Series, because you can't do that. You can't buy a World Series. You have to execute. It's not, to me, it's not the payroll that won them the series, that it never was going to be. I mean, because in modern baseball, how many times does the highest payroll win? Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. Now it's nothing like it used to be.
But you'll agree with me that if Shohei Ohtani doesn't defer all that money, the likelihood of them signing Yamamoto for $325 million is probably not as high.
Actually, I don't know. I always feel like the Dodgers are in on everyone, and it doesn't even matter how much money they spend. You're educating me on this. I don't know if they had structured Shohei differently. Were they out on Yamamoto? Because I kind of feel like Yamamoto wanted to go there too.
I don't know. I mean, $700 million guy and a $325 million guy. That's crazy.
Well, the Mets are going to do that, aren't they?
Dodgers and Mets were basically in an arms race for Yamamoto, and the Dodgers went up in the ante once they were able to get Shohei locked in that deferred deal.
But I don't think it's going to be crazy to have a $700 million guy and a $300 million guy moving forward.
In the same offseason, though, to pay for one offseason?
Maybe the same offseason. But, I mean, I'm sure are the Mets going to do that this offseason and have basically $760 for Soto? They're probably going to pay.
It's a little weird because the Mets, not getting to the Mets minutia, but they have a general manager who actually doesn't believe in a lot of the just spend everything. He's a kind of a money ball guy. So, like, they might lose Pete Alonso because of that. And they might actually get a player who may not be as expensive.
Oh, so the Yankees or whatever. Right. There's going to be these other teams are going to be spending up in that stratosphere soon.
It's possible, but it just feels like, I mean, watching free agency happen every year and you see guy after guy after guy go to the Dodgers, you do
look at this and say,
man, this feels like this is, again, a different playing field than everyone else. The Mets, the Yankees maybe can get one or two big guys, but it doesn't feel the same to me.
And let's not forget, they have Glasnow and Snell.
Yeah, it wasn't just this offseason. Every offseason, every time I hear, this guy is going to look around at this, I'm like, well, if the Dodgers want in, they're getting that guy. That's just the way it's been for almost a decade, right? I mean, if the Dodgers really wanted, the Padres made their little run at stealing guys, but even that is like almost bankrupted the franchise.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. What's funny about this, too, is we can have these arguments about buying a team, not buying a team. This is an all-time series, even if you had no dog in the fight.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable to watch. You just had no idea what was coming next. I've never seen this many, Pearl, feels like, unreal plays at the plate, on the base pass, in the outfield. Like, this series was almost more about the defense than it was about the offense, and the offense, you know, for the Dodgers was basically non-existent until it absolutely had to be. And for Toronto, you had guys who are basically wrote their name into the record books alongside like the Mickey Mantles and the Babe Ruths. Now you've got the Ernie Clements and the Bargers. I mean, it was just so exciting and entertaining that, you know, we can quibble about money and all of that, but it was an all-time watch. And this is fantastic for baseball, I have to imagine, because you thought, okay, it's got to be Dodgers and Yankees to really pull people in. Not true. Not true at all. This series showed that
Dodgers.
No, but you can also make big stars out of guys who don't have to necessarily play in New York,
yeah,
Boston,
I mean,
or Chicago.
One of the greatest World Series. I mean, it's not going to be. Let's not get caught up in the moment.
I said one of.
Yeah,
I
yeah.
Didn't say the
oh
best.
No, I know. Actually, you didn't say that, but I was actually thinking, was this the greatest World Series ever? I think as time goes on, I think it'll make a lot of top 10 lists for a long time. There's a couple, obviously, historical ones that jump out a little bit. It doesn't have the history of, say, the Cubs and the Cleveland. Like, there are a couple.
Yeah, that's an all-timer, too.
Yeah, I would say, yeah, I'm. You know, Yankees Diamondbacks was right there. Any Game 7 World Series are all amazing.
Okay, but we could talk about that, the Bill Mazeroski home run, Joe Carter home run. There are these moments, and I know that there's games that lead up to those moments, but this to me, especially Game 6 and Game 7, felt like it was just nonstop. If you were to name, like, what are the five plays that won this, or what's the one play that was their turning point, or what's the one thing, like, yeah, you could say the Will Smith home run that gave the Dodgers the lead, but think about all the other 15 things that happened just in Game 6 and Game 7 alone.
It's hard to go over the TikTok. I'm sure that happened to the other classic World Series, too. I'm sorry, I'm looking at a list. The number one, having the Red Sox and the Carlton Fisk year, 75. I'm sure baseball lends itself to a lot of little moments. That's what's amazing about it. It's not, I think all the World Series have this. This is definitely, in my mind, gets in the top 10. It's definitely the best of the Dodgers three in this era. Last year was barely competition. 2020, big asterisk. So this was very cool. Probably, and I think that, you know, we talk about the ratings. Did you see the numbers are massive because of the Japanese crowd? The overall numbers are insane. I think... Yeah, it did rejuvenate baseball in some ways. It's still a spread out sports landscape. I don't think baseball is going to all of a sudden pass the NBA and pass college football, but I do think this is all very good.
I'll tell you what, you got a real villain now, because I think whether people thought the Dodgers were like the Goliath to David, okay, that's fine, but you mentioned they have a lot of likable guys with Mookie Betts and people love Shohei and all of that, but now with two back-to-back and the way that the heartbreak happened for Toronto, I think you've got everyone gunning for the Dodgers.
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely target on their back, but I do feel this is a little bit of 90s Jordan in the sense that you kind of want to see them at the highest level because of Shohei. I mean, I think the story isn't the Dodgers payroll. The story is you have the GOAT in real time. We get to watch him hopefully throw and bat at the same time, although I would just keep him as a batter. I think Shohei is the thing. He's like Wemby in basketball. Like, it is, he will be the biggest story we've ever seen coming into next year. Don't you think? I mean, coming off all these MVPs in a row, he is Michael Jordan right now.
Let's go to Wilson, who's in Southern California. Wilson, what do you think about the Dodgers World Series win?
Good morning. Very happy about it. And I sympathize with you, Maggie, because growing up, and I'm older than you, growing up through the 70s, the 60s, the 70s, and watching Steinbrenner and his Death Star, scoop away Catfish Hunter, scoop away Reggie Jackson, into the 80s, scoop away Dave Winfield, into the 90s, Roger Clemens. So I'm saying decades of this frustration for me, on and on. And it's still going on, but right now the Dodgers are on the other end of the spectrum.
Yep.
But this is not the last time we've seen this. And Maggie, in all fairness, within the next year or two, this point will be moot because money changes everything, and it only ramps up. And the Padres and the Yankees and the Red Sox and I'm sure I'm forgetting somebody are going to start ramping up the ante, as well as the Dodgers. One last thought. I think in 10 years, we're going to see Bob Costas sitting on a stool with Tom Verducci. There's going to be four Blue Jays and Dodgers, and they're going to be talking about this series because in my mind, and I've seen a lot, this one is easily in the top five. Right now, I'm just trying to wrap my head like you guys on what we just saw. The greatness of pitching, the greatness of that hitter, Vlade, I mean, and then just clutch home runs with two outs, and then a team with bases loaded and one out that just couldn't get over the hump and choked it away.
I know.
So anyway, I appreciate you guys listening to me. I know you're going to 86 me here, but, I had to get my thoughts in.
No, listen, Wilson, it's a good point that I think what Wilson is trying to say there, Pearl, is that we're just going to have an even bigger gap between the haves and the have-nots in baseball.
No, right. I think he's saying that other teams are going to come after the Dodgers and I'll try and outspend them.
Right, right. So, but not the Pirates and not the Royals not the, Guardians and the teams that are, traditionally these lower payrolls. If you have teams that are now going to be going for it, like the Mariners and your Phillies and these teams like Toronto, these teams that actually do have money and will spend it, are we going to even see more of a gap between the haves and the have-nots? That's what I heard. What he was talking about. If you're going after the Dodgers and you're going after them with your wallet, that means there's going to be teams that get fully left in the dust.
Yeah, no, I that's definitely true. I also feel like he thinks the Dodgers have this great edge now, but what if somebody else starts to collect talent? You know what? It does lack a little bit. Maybe I'm missing something. Is the one moment, and maybe you want to do Will Smith, but... I'm looking at greatest World Series over, and they sort of have an iconic moment. For example, Bill Buckner, Carlton Fisk, even though the team ended up losing it, or Bill Mazeroski. What do you call this World Series? What's a shorthand moment?
Yamamoto.
Really?
I mean, I guess you'd say Will Smith if you want the home run, but it actually ended. The game ended on a double play ball started by Mookie Betts.
I mean, even Yamamoto, it's not like Jack Morris.
The Miggy Rowe game?
Miguel Rojas game?
The moment to me is when the ball got stuck in the wall.
That was game six, though. Yeah.
I know. That's one of the craziest things ever. We haven't even talked about that. What are the odds?
How about this
physically that happened?
So much happened in this game in game seven that we have not talked about the fact that the benches cleared.
I got it.
In game seven. Yeah. Remember that happened when Andrés Giménez got hit?
That was ridiculous. Also
how John Schneider was so ticked off because Shohei Ohtani was getting extra time to warm up for pitches. I thought he was going to lose it at one point.
I think I know. I think it's the 18 inning game. That's the...
But then the Blue Jays took the lead in the series after that, though.
But that is, to me, the... biggest moment of the game, though. Besides, that was crazy. Remember, they went 18 innings? It feels like a long time ago. Yeah. So much happened. That defined the rest of the series, too, because it sort of affected the pitching staff so much and affected the hitters. I don't know. I need a moment, though. Yamamoto was fantastic, but I'm not sure that's that one moment.
I think this is a series that's kind of one of one in that there are so many insane moments that you can't really make it about one thing. Because I didn't even think about other sports. I know the other major sport being like that's game sevens that are like hockey and basketball. But I think about like Mark Messier's guarantee, or I think about LeBron's block. But there were those series, I don't think, had a lot of those great moments in the other games like that. Like, I think those series were in many ways about one
game
moment,
seven.
Even though they went seven games.
Yeah.
Where this, I think you just can't describe it that way because there are too many storylines within one series. I don't think that makes it lesser than, it's just different.
Yeah.
I think maybe poll question, is this World Series, is this, what do you call, what's the shorthand? What do you call it? The Will Smith World Series, or is it the Yamamoto World Series? Honestly, the Mickey Rojas, he was in the middle of everything in the last two games.
Yeah, I would do more Yamamoto than Will Smith, but is it the one where they played 18 innings too? I mean, maybe in 15 years, he'll remember that.
I think it is determined by what the loser feels. And if I'm a Blue Jay fan today, it feels like the Miguel Rojas game. That's what it feels like to me. You're two outs away from the World Series. Your closer is on the mound. I know he's giving a bunch of homers, but your closer is on the mound. Joe Davis is writing the obituary for the Dodgers as the game is happening. And this guy hits, I mean, it was a hanging slider, but still, I mean, this guy who hasn't hit a home run since September, who hasn't hit a home run against righties all season, hits a home run with two outs away in the World Series.
It was like a line drive home run, too. It wasn't even like a deep towering. It was like you weren't even sure it was a home run right off the bat.
Yeah, I mean, to me, that's the thing. If I'm a Blue Jays fan, I sit with. Because everything else that happens afterwards, that's where the game is lost. You had the game right in your hands.
Yeah.
He had it right in your hands many times. Three or four times. I mean, the guys colliding in the outfield, for God's sake.
I know.
The IKF slide with bases loaded.
Oh,
see, that's maybe a way why it's the Will Smith game, because he has the home run in 11, but he also has getting his cleat back on home plate in the ninth inning.
How about the Andy Páez game? Because I don't think Kike Hernandez is making that catch in the bottom of the ninth, tenth inning.
Yeah, where they collided. Kike Hernandez was going for like the over-the-shoulder Willie Mays.
Yeah.
And I also
only Willie Mays can do the over-the-shoulder Willie Mays. And I love Kike Hernandez. He's a great, great guy to root for. He's always making winning plays.
And I don't think Tommy Edman, who's 5'10", is also making that catch either. He just got subbed out of the game.
Yep, I know. Exactly. Again,
was it two batters before Dave Roberts put Andy Páez
again,
in center?
Just pressing the right buttons, Dave Roberts. I mean, I saw it was mid-inning as well.
Yeah, mid-inning.
We saw Edman coming out, Páez coming in. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. They're making a defensive switch in the middle of the inning. And then, sure enough, two batters later, Andy Páez with the biggest...
And they made the
play on defense.
And they made the switch because of his arm strength. It had nothing to do with his fielding. They're like, oh, well, because Edmund's a good center field but doesn't have a strong arm, you got to have your strongest arm out there to potentially have to make a throw at the plate. And this guy makes an incredible catch crashing into somebody because he's 6'2".
Absolutely.
And he's able he's able to just sky over his own player.
But would the other guy have caught the ball?
I don't think so.
That would have been one of the greatest catches I've ever seen if Kike makes that play.
I mean, listen, he ended the game in game six with running in. He said he would have gotten hit in the face with that ball. He lost in the lights, ends up making a running grab, and then gets a runner at second.
And by the way, if we're talking Philly, Dalton Varsho could have easily been the story on the other side. He's a monster in center field. That was a huge play.
Yeah, that diving catch.
Oh, my God, that was incredible.
Saved three runs.
And how about all of a sudden Vlad is like the greatest, like Big Cat Galarraga?
Have a double and then get yourself with the sacrifice bunt into scoring position in the 11th inning.
I'm talking about the diving catch. It's like, where did that come from?
The Vlad diving catch in foul territory where he lays out like Superman?
Mm.
How?
Yeah, this was epic baseball this weekend.
We're just like naming things.
There's just so many moments from these last two games. It's just, the baseball was awesome.
I mean,
so sad it's over.
Game six getting doubled off. In the ninth? I mean, oh, my God. I can't get over. To me, it's just like the Blue Jays fans. Can you imagine being an 8-year-old kid, staying up late, way past your bedtime to see this, and then don't come away with the win?
Did you guys see it?
I wouldn't be able to handle it.
Did you see any of the... Oh, that stinks forever. Yeah. Believe me, I know. Also, the subway apparently wasn't working, like after the game. So all of a sudden, all these Blue Jay fans were stranded.
Oh, that's not good.
They were angry.
Oh, boy.
They were mad.
I had a friend, Andre and Andre's friends went to game six. And I said, I don't think I could have done that.
Six or seven?
Six. I mean, now you saw how seven went. But like, you go to that game thinking you're going to win the World Series. And not only do you lose that heartbreaker, you didn't lose game seven. I mean, I couldn't imagine being in that stadium.
No, Pearl, you're saying 8-year-olds or something, like young fans. This stays with you. This becomes like part of your DNA.
Especially if you don't go back to the World Series for another 32 years.
All right. World Series calls. Let's go. Is this more heartbreaking for the Blue Jays or victorious for the Dodgers? How will you remember this World Series? Coming up next, J.J. McCarthy back on the field. How did it go? We'll tell you next.
All right, Maggie, if you want to move on to other sports, I'll tell you the best way to do it. It's with Prize Picks. Prize Picks is so much fun, especially in the fall when there's so many sports going on. Tonight, for example, on Prize Picks, you can pick whether Zach LaVine is going to get more or less than 22.5 points. I always go over from now on in Zach LaVine. You could get into hockey with Sidney Crosby. You could get, of course, into football with Dak Prescott, 268.5 pass yards. All you do is pick more or less on their projections, two players, and you can win big. You get a $50 bonus credit instantly in lineups when you play your first $5. It is awesome.
Pearl, you know what starts tonight?
What?
College hoops. I'm surprised BYU against Villanova wasn't on your bingo card today. Kennard Davis, more than 8.5 points when BYU takes on Villanova. And how about put that together with a little Sidney Crosby? Got the Penguins and the Maple Leafs tonight. See how the Maple Leafs do to help their fans get over this one. 2.5 shots on goal. Let's go more than for Sid the Kid. This is just some of the fun that you can have on Prize Picks. It's available in more than 40-plus states, including California, Texas, Florida, and Georgia. Perloff and I were obsessed. The whole show, we're into it, and you can be too. Download the Prize Picks app today. Use the code M&P. Get $50 bonus credit instantly in lineups when you play $5. That's code M&P on Prize Picks. You get $50 bonus credit instantly in lineups when you play just $5. Win or lose, you get $50 bonus credit in lineups just for playing. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks. It is good to be right. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
Mand P.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back, Maggie and Perloff. Now, my sports day is pretty full with football, NBA. We had a lot of baseball. I don't know if I can fit in a new sport, but I'm hearing this rumor that college basketball is underway.
It started. They're doing the 24 Field of 68 opening day marathon, and Andrew Bogish is here. We already have basketball that we can bet on this morning, 8:30 a.m.
You're late on Prize Picks because Winthrop and Queens University are already midway through the first half at Winthrop.
Hell yeah.
And Winthrop has a 19-16 lead, as you might expect.
Throw out the record books when those two get together.
Now,
wow.
There is time to do your homework because at 11 a.m. Eastern, St. Bonaventure hosts Bradley.
Oh, here we go, Woj. The Fighting Wojes.
Let me correct myself. That's a neutral site game. That's in Rock Hill. That's following Queens and Winthrop.
Oh, watch out.
So they're all in one place.
The Fighting Wojes? Because Adrian Wojnarowski left ESPN.
Yeah, that's right, for his alma mater. Who is that? The Fighting Wojes against who?
The Bradley Braves.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, again, throw out the record books.
Yeah.
Patrick O'Brien's former team.
Yeah, then things get dicey. If you want to at 1 p.m., if you've got that itch, you've got Prairie View A&M hosting the College of Biblical Studies.
Okay.
I'm might need a prayer to beat that team. Ba-dum-tsh.
Are you a dad?
Maybe.
Okay.
Wow.
Are you religious?
Stephen F. Austin is playing Millsaps. I don't know if that's Paul Millsaps or just Millsaps.
The whole family.
I hope it's Paul Millsaps. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, that there's a lot. There's a lot going on today.
Poor student body of these schools as well. We're just laughing at the name of their schools, and they're like, hey, I worked hard to get accepted into the school.
Yeah, so meanwhile, I feel like Millsaps would kill to go to there, wherever it is. Where's Millsaps?
I don't know. It feels like it's an open door policy.
Don't worry,
you just
guys.
Show up. We'll teach you something.
I've got the game streaming live on YouTube right now between Winthrop and Queen, so thank heavens we got live sports.
EJ, how could you go with Patrick O'Brien for Bradley? You know who went to Bradley. The man himself.
Bill Bradley?
Hersey Hawkins, former Sixer, former Seattle Supersonic, and the greatest Sonic team ever assembled. Anyone with me?
I feel bad that
NBA
did
not, on NBC.
I feel bad I didn't know that. Or I forgot that.
Yeah,
I know I love the 90s NBA. I forgot. I did not know he went to Bryant.
Because I'm one of those people, 90s NBA means more than anything.
It's back. We get the theme song. Everything's
not the same.
Still the same.
It's not the same. They had a. There's so many commercials for NBA during the NFL now. It's kind of weird. It's like because everybody has it, so everyone's running a commercial. And it started out great. It's like, all right, see the Lakers play the Warriors. And then I'm watching the game last night. It's like, all right, on Tuesday we got the Hawks and Clippers facing off.
That's what they're turning on.
Yeah, Michael Jordan, dust them off. This college basketball slate, Bogues, you really could have had your pick here. Widener versus Drexel.
Widener's a local school to me. I knew Widener pretty well.
Johnson and Wales versus VMI. Isn't Johnson and Wales a cooking school?
It might be. And they play basketball.
You mean a culinary school?
Yeah,
the chef.
Cooking school. What the hell is that?
Johnson and
Wales?
Don't they
spatula. Stir the things in there?
Weren't you in the restaurant business?
Yeah, my parents actually used to give a scholarship for someone to go to culinary school too, and I still blew that.
The gray scholarship?
Mm-hmm. Listen, we're changing America's youth, everybody.
Oh, yeah. Changing lives in Binghamton, New York.
When does that kick in?
I think it actually ended.
Binghamton,
probably.
New York, as everybody knows, is a pot for future chefs.
Yeah.
Hope this isn't a pipeline. This isn't a Scott's Tot situation.
No, they actually gave them money. No, my parents are actually on the lam.
Sorry, so I missed. Are there like real teams playing tonight?
There are a couple of real games tonight.
Something we can watch?
Getting there. Yeah, these games will be on TV. There are a couple of good ones tonight.
Okay.
There are some.
Where? Midway University against Morehead State?
No, you gotta filter for ranked on ranked. So you do have Florida, Arizona.
Okay,
and,
I've heard of them.
Yes, and then that's a doubleheader. The second game there, I believe, is Nova BYU.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about before.
Yeah.
I got my prize.
So that's AJ Dibanza's debut.
Can't wait to see that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Finally.
What time does that tip off?
Roughly 9:30, depending on when game one ends.
Good luck to you.
Well, I mean, you know the Cardinals-Cowboys is going to the fourth quarter because the Cardinals are always in it, in a losing effort.
By the way, shout out to Perloff, who was totally on it, that Kyler may get benched because he got
benched. Well, me and EJ were going back and forth about this weird, the way the Cardinals handled that was really weird. They said that Kyler is practiced and ready to go, and then they were like, and QB1 will be at the press conference in 2 hours later, and then everyone said, you mean Kyler? They said QB1. That was Jacoby.
And Kyler might be dressed tonight but not start, but maybe play.
His listen is questionable was the latest.
But I think Jacoby Brissett probably gives him a better chance to win right now, which is so odd. I don't know. It feels like it's over for Kyler Murray. Then again, who knows? The Cardinals, they're hard to predict.
What if Kyler Murray just went to go play baseball now? I mean, he got of money. What did he get, $120 million?
Kyler Murray, the shortstop for the Las Vegas Athletics.
Yeah, why not?
Do they still have his rights?
I'm pretty sure they do, yeah.
But that's kind of cool.
That'd be really interesting. You're assuming it just doesn't come back together this year?
No, I'm actually probably assuming that he goes somewhere else and flames out in one more team and then goes to baseball.
I don't think he could start next year anywhere. I don't know if anyone would take him.
Oh, there's someone that will take him.
I mean,
if the money's right,
Kyler Murray,
somebody will. Anyway.
I don't think he's well thought of because of his height.
And also his attitude. I think gets a lot of criticism.
Really? Still? I don't know. I feel like that's passed, but I just feel like he has to drop back so far to see the field that I don't think he'll get another starting job. But we'll see.
The day ahead of the NFL trade deadline, the Eagles making another move. Now they are getting pass rusher Jalen Phillips from the Dolphins for a third-round pick. This is Philly's third trade in a week, already adding corners Jaire Alexander and Michael Carter II. Elsewhere in the NFC East, the Commanders could not have had a worse Sunday night football.
Play fake to Walker. Darnold's going to roll. He's got his man. It's White. Breaks a tackle. Going down the far sidelines. He could go. He is in for a touchdown. Seahawks. Are you kidding me?
Steve Rabel on Seahawks Radio. 60 yards to Cody White. It was Sam Darnold's fourth touchdown pass of the first half. Mm-hmm. He didn't throw his first incompletion until the third quarter. Now, before losing 38-14, the Commanders also lost Jaden Daniels to a major left elbow injury. It's reportedly a dislocation. X-rays last night negative. An MRI today. This could be the end of Daniel's season.
It was so gruesome that on SportsCenter this morning, they actually blurred his body after he fell. They showed the tackle, but then as he was falling down, they blurred everything, and that's how gruesome it was.
I went on YouTube and I got a warning saying you have to be 18 and over to see this clip.
Really?
I mean, yeah, then I had to find another one where you didn't have to be 18 and over.
Then you just look somewhere else. Pearl, you thought that he'd be able to come back.
I did see a bunch of doctors say because of where the injury was, and it's a dislocation, if they can pop it back in and without too much damage on the non-throwing hand, if they needed him, that's not necessarily 100% season ending, but they're already 3-6, so
yeah,
it's got to be season ending.
NFL Network says that it's better than they thought. So it might be multiple games, but not the whole season. But that's still pending MRI results.
Yeah. I mean, it's not the throwing hand, but it's pretty gruesome. But that team gave up on the game from the first quarter on. That the defense is a problem. And they made Sam Darnold look like peak
Daniel Jones?
Steve Young. I don't even know. is Sam Darnold that good, or am I in an alternate universe, by the way? Because he'd be running around and avoiding sackers and hitting guys on a dime 30 yards downfield.
I think that the Commanders' defense had a little to do with that.
But they're been doing it all year, though.
Yeah, but we're talking about last night, where it looked especially amazing in the first half. I mean, the Commanders' defense, not only are they old, they are injured, and they just felt they were completely out of position. And JSN has now had, what, six games with over 100 yards receiving? It's amazing.
So we've done the Eagles. We've done the Commanders. Now let's do the Giants, losing at home to the Niners yesterday, 34-24. More planes flew over the Meadowlands with banners asking John Mara to fire his head coach and GM. And Niner fans too loud during the game.
I think we got one of our false starts off of that, and then we kind of had to go to silent count from there. Which you never really want to do at home, but part of it.
Nothing like the old silent count because the visiting fans are too loud. That was wide receiver Wandale Robinson.
Oh, yeah, things are great.
As we all hope, speaking of things going great, the Sixers sit atop the Eastern Conference this morning.
Maxey with five to Watford. Trendon fakes. Baseline drive cut off to the corner. Edwards. Up top Grimes. He'll get it off for three. It's in the air. Good. What a play by the Sixers. Quentin Grimes knocks it out. And the lead is 23 with 7:50 to go.
That's Tom McGinnis on Sixers Radio. Philly cruising to a 129-105 win in Brooklyn, improving to 5-1. The Bulls dropped to 5-1 last night with a 128-116 loss at the Knicks.
That's right.
Joel Embiid did not play in Brooklyn last night, but he was fined $50,000 yesterday.
Why?
For his favorite lewd gesture. Embiid did his groin chopping salute Friday night in Boston. This is the fourth time at least that he has gotten in trouble for that move.
An NBA guy, but come on, NBA, lighten up.
Also, if you can't spend your money paying fines for that when you've made $300 million, I mean, what do you even spend your money on?
Especially when you're doing it, getting all that money while rehabbing.
But how about Rico Dowdle?
Yeah, do I take two pumps?
Pumps yesterday.
There are rules that are rules. The two-pump rule, what happened to that?
Well, I thought it was supposed to be you don't get fined until, or you don't get the flag thrown until unless it's three pumps.
That's what
third pump, you get the flag, and they threw the flag on two pumps. It was
they miscounted pumps.
Totally, totally ridiculous.
Premature, would you say?
No, yes. I think it these experience referees a little too puritanical.
I think
everyone knows three pumps gets the whistle. Two pumps, you're still good.
Hey, you know what? Sometimes two pumps
like
is
a lady.
Sometimes two pumps is enough.
And you wonder why you're single.
Wow. Oh no.
Sorry, man.
Wow.
You set me up for that one.
I'm in it for me.
Again.
I'm in this game for me.
And we get more evidence. Where's Mrs. Rodriguez? Where's the woman who's missing out on this? Anyway, the referees were not in concert with Rico Dowdle. And by the way, they accepted the penalty on the extra point, and the dude freaking missed it.
Because it was kicking from Nova Scotia.
Well, and it was like 50-mile-an-hour winds. And it didn't matter because the Panthers won the game anyway.
By the way, can we talk about Rico Dowdle becoming Jim Brown randomly? All
right. I was about to say, Maggie
Shuba
said,
Hubbard, just push him into a lake. Get him out.
We were saying the Packers. I can't believe the Packers lost 13-point favorites.
The Chuba Missile Crisis.
Panthers might be for real. Like, for real, for real.
The
like,
Bills
that defense
just blew him out last week.
I don't know.
They ain't Donald Dalton. No offense to Pearl, but.
That
well, even
James
that game,
Cook.
But they
James
were moving.
Cook ran for over 200 yards on them and sat out the whole fourth quarter.
You know, Dalton, even they were moving the ball against the Bills. Like, that offense is, I don't know. And that defense of Derrick Brown, I don't really know what happened against the Bills, but they might not be awful. I mean, they could certainly be in the playoffs.
Yeah, I agree.
EJ, weren't we doing this at the end of last season and Perloff wanted no part of this conversation?
I know, but then I saw basically Rico Dowdle win the job, and he's amazing.
To be fair, I do think Rico, can't say his name,
yeah,
makes them look different.
Yeah.
They look different with him out there. He's the best running back in the NFL.
But did they not? Like they platoon him against the Bills, for example. Like, he's a beast. Jerry Jones knows what he's doing.
And the first guy to say this was Emmitt Smith, by the way. He said this on our show. He was like, the Cowboys have a great running back, and Rico Dowdle. We all looked at him like, what? And he was right. He's like, they just give him the ball, they will be fine. And now he's in Carolina again, running all over the NFC South. And now apparently the Packers.
Whatever happened to Miles Sanders?
Oh, he's the worst.
We'll see him tonight. Won't we?
No, isn't he?
Isn't he still on the Panthers? Isn't he still a big contract?
Miles Sanders on the Cowboys, guys. Is he not? Isn't he Javonte Williams' backup? Or did I have a stroke?
Yeah, no, he's in Dallas.
That's what he's doing now?
Yeah, thank you.
Also, I think got hurt. Yeah, he's off of the season,
yeah,
man. Come on, wake up.
All right.
He's not a Panther anymore?
10-4 ISN. He's not at Penn State anymore?
Neither 8-8. Steve Smith.
Wait, you meant to tell me Christian Hackenberg is not at Penn State anymore?
This is in the Panthers moved off from Jake DeLone.
Yeah. Musa Muhammad's questionable tonight, so stand by.
All right. Riverboat Ron Rivera still calling plays. Okay. Lots to do, including mentioned J.J. McCarthy back on the field yesterday facing the division rival Detroit Lions. How did it go? We've got that for you next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
You're trying to tell me Zeke Elliott and Rico Dowdle could not carry their team? No. There was no commitment to run the football. And when there was a commitment, when Dak Prescott went down, Rico ran the ball well. So don't tell me we can't run the football.
It's Maggie and Perloff on the Infinity Sports Network.
Man, that was Emmitt Smith talking to Perloff and I at the Super Bowl this year. He was upset. They let Rico Dowdle go, and now Dowdle looks like the best running back in the league, not named Bijan Robinson, Jahmyr Gibbs, or James Cook, I guess. Welcome back to the show.
So how about a certain guy in Philly you didn't mention?
Oh, yeah, Saquon. Even you say he's having a bad season.
Well, yeah, but that he just gave off a good game. But he's legit. He's actually like kind of bigger and stronger than those guys. I'm like, none of those guys hold a handle. Bijan's the one thing about McCaffrey and Bijan, they're such good receivers. Now, EJ, you seem like a Rico Dowdle stan. Is he a good receiver? I haven't even noticed much.
Oh, he's had a few catches. I think he's more been the running game, but he's had a couple of receiving touchdowns. I mean, he saved my fantasy team, by the way. I was 0-3 and I picked this guy up just for the hell of it, and now I'm back to being 4-4, about to be 5-4. Shout out to Rico Dowdle. I should change my team name is the Maggie and Pearl offense, but I think I'm going to change it to the Fighting Rico Dowdle. Yeah.
They deserve it. He deserves it more than us. Okay, so that was just one of the shocking results yesterday, Pearl, where the Packers were, did it close at 13.5?
It was definitely in that realm.
Last time I checked, it was there.
Yeah, two score favorite over the Carolina Panthers, and Panthers end up coming up big, and the Packers offense just completely stalled without Tucker Kraft in the lineup. And, you know, Micah Parsons saw a steady diet of double teams and did not get one quarterback pressure on Bryce Young yesterday.
Well, he had a good point after the game. Micah Parsons said, we just held their quarterback to 102 yards passing Like, it ain't on us. Like, basically, he had no chance because the Panthers didn't pass the ball. So when was he going to get these pressures and these plays? I don't want to hear excuses, but he had no chance to go because the Panthers are so conservative. And by the way, the Jordan Love woke up finally at the end. That's why I'm not counting the Packers out, even without Tucker Kraft. Like, you saw at the end, like, okay, when they needed to move the ball on offense, boom, like lightning. They had a great drive at the end. Until that, they were just messing around the whole game. It was really kind of, it felt like at halftime, I saw the Panthers put out this tweet. I think it was Julian Edelman said, oh, the Packers are playing with their food. But I understand that. They get so conservative on offense, it drives me nuts.
Yeah, the Packers just are not a consistent football team. They aren't. I want them to be a lot more consistent than they are, Pearl. And it's losing to, you know, the Carolina Panthers at home. It's losing to the Cleveland Browns on the road. Oh, I guess maybe that was a little more forgivable, that Browns team.
Same spread. It was 11.5.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't think they play down to their competition.
They do, for sure.
They can't get it going. Like, they have yet to put together a good full game, maybe outside of game one.
Well, I don't know
Detroit.
About that. They were pretty. You don't think they put together a full game against Pittsburgh?
No. Jordan Love was not good in the first half and then turned it on in the second half. Absolutely not. So
I couldn't remember. Yeah.
I don't think so. And it's funny because I got killed on the show and on social media when I said the Packers beating the Steelers did not prove to me that they are now Super Bowl contenders. And I got lit up for that. And you follow up that win with this kind of loss, I think shows that there's some real warts. I just don't think they have the firepower offensively to hang with other teams in the NFC.
I do. I think Jordan Love, even yesterday, Jordan Love made a bunch of throws. I'm like, ooh, that was pretty good.
Also threw into triple coverage and also basically should have had an interception in the end zone where he somehow
the drop
scrambled around for 20 seconds and threw it right to a Carolina Panthers defender with not a Packer in the shot.
I feel like this is more about LaFleur. Than Jordan Love. I think LaFleur is inconsistent. I think he wants to, he just holds on too tight to that offense. I think they got to, you know, maybe, honestly, addition by subtraction, they're so dependent on Kraft too. Maybe they open it up here. Their run game maybe gets going. I just felt like they just were not sort of engaged in the right way against Carolina. I'm not counting them. I know they're favored against the Eagles next week. I mean, it does say Vegas still believes in them. They opened 2.5-point favorites. Like, it's a pretty good team. This was a weird game. Carolina might be better than we think.
Every NFL game in 60 seconds or less, including, as I've been teasing all morning, J.J. McCarthy's return to the starting lineup for the Minnesota Vikings. And could that now change what's going on in that crazy NFC North? It's the Maggie and Pearl Show.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.